By First Baptist Church, and an opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Gary Quinn. And boy, I say a little bit of time, really we're winding down the clock till about June, and you get the opportunity to say, I'm retiring. Graduates, thank you very much for a good year, but goodbye.
Yeah, as everybody knows, I've announced my retirement effective at the end of the contract, which is at the end of June, and there's still a lot to do between now and then, and we're working very hard, but we'll have some times to kind of reminisce and celebrate toward the end of this, I think, with some family and friends and employees later on. But it's an exciting time to work in the school business. There's always challenges at any time, and right now we've got some real challenges with our budget, and we're starting to prepare for next year's budget. We want to make sure we've got that ready to go for whoever's going to come in to be the next superintendent.
Well, your chief financial officer was, I'll say unofficially, saying in the hallway as we were kind of walking out of the school board meeting Monday night together, that he had some unofficial expectations of what the revenue failure might be, because state officials had, in my words, not his, dropped a lot of hints. But the board did meet yesterday, and we'll just repeat what we've been using from Earl Sears this morning on that that second revenue failure. Really, he's talking mostly about next fiscal year, which of course is of concern to school officials as well, but I think he does mention this year as well. Earl Sears.
The board did meet. The funds were officially certified. We will have $1.3 billion less funds to develop the 2017 budget. We know it is a challenge, but we stand ready to meet that challenge. We're already having numerous meetings to address the areas that we want to make sure that we are still taking care of core government, and I think we will be successful in that. But there is no question we will have additional cuts as we put this budget together, but our sole intent is to assist our education programs in the state and those other core programs for all of Oklahoma.
So that's at least the comment that we got from Earl yesterday. He didn't mention, at least in that one, the dollars that will be not available this year, but at least as you try to put a budget together for next year, you'll have at least some idea of how many or how few dollars you get for next year.
Yeah, and as you know, this creates some real challenges for school district. Whatever we get reduced this year, and we've already been told of some reductions, and we're expecting a second round of that even in the current year. We received an allocation at the beginning of the year, but we receive our money each month. The state of Oklahoma, by law, cannot run a deficit budget, which is good. It's in our Constitution. However, that what that means to agencies is during the year, if there's less funds than what was certified, then you get less funds. They have to reduce that. So it's been always interesting those years when that's happened, and this is certainly one of those, because most of our budget is in salaries and employees benefits, and those are pretty much set for the year because we contract with our teachers for the whole year and our other employees for the entire year. So to have reductions during the year, it's going to reduce our fund balance, and so that's always a challenge for us.
It is. He did comment Monday night that the last round, and as I recall, and I'm going to use my words because I'm not sure that's exactly what he said, but the first round you were more or less flat because, more students, therefore you got more dollars per student than maybe what you might have expected. And then I think it was $87,000 from the Cherokee Nation helped out a little bit too.
Well, certainly. We always appreciate the funding that we receive from the Cherokee Nation on the license tags that they sell, and it's based on the number of students in our district that are on their tribal rolls, and so that benefits us. And this year was the most we'd ever received. That $87,000 is the most that they had given us. So that's of help. Every little bit helps, but there's going to be some real challenges as we go into next year. Even with the legislature's best efforts, it's going to be hard to hold any agency, especially education, because we're such a large part of the state budget, harmless next year. So $1.3 billion scattered out over the state agencies could be a significant reduction. So we're developing our budget plan for next year. We've started meeting as we always do, and throughout the spring we continue to address our budget and develop our budget plan for next year. And we time that so that just as the legislature is finishing their session, that's when we actually pretty much know what our budget's going to be. Then we take it to the school board the 1st of June to approve next year's budget plan. So it's a real challenging time, and it's a time that we wish we didn't have to go through, but it's one that we have to really look and see how we can be more efficient. Those areas that we feel like are more expendable than others that we can reduce. But it's a challenge for us, as it is to the whole state. And I don't, the legislature's got their hands full. They didn't want to have this kind of a reduction in their revenue, and I'm sure, and so it's going to be real difficult for them.
Well, we'll be optimistic, and I'll say for those that might be trying to infer that you and I are trying to prepare people for, I don't know, larger class sizes or this or that, right now I think unofficially, we're saying we're not sure. We don't know.
Well, we don't know where the reductions will be, but a lot of times in the schools, when you have to make significant reductions, since 90% of our budget's in salaries, it requires fewer personnel. So we'll have to see kind of what the extent of the reduction will be, and what are our priorities, and what we can do to help minimize that the best we can.
Yeah. Well, you did get to recognize a lot of dedicated people and some excellent students one way or the other way, and the board seems to enjoy those introductions as you spotlight people at the beginning of the meeting.
Oh, I think they do. It's always a fun for me and a pleasure for them to see kind of the result of their hard work, see some of our students and our staff really excelling. We finally got to congratulate the football team. Every time we were ready to do it, they were busy. They were at a function with a student being at an all-state banquet or something like that. So they had one of their best seasons ever. They ended up 10-2 and won regional championship and was a state semifinalist, and one of the best seasons in our history. And so we got to congratulate their captains and many of their leaders of their team. And then we honored several choir students, Mrs. Green's group, that and also the middle school groups that have performed well and been successful in becoming honored for All-State and that type of thing. We also honored the Teacher of the Year, which happens to be Mrs. Green.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Rising Star Teacher of the Year this year was Leah Dennis. We got to honor her, and our Kurt Schmoke Teacher Appreciation Award is Rick Johnson. So it was a pleasure to have them at the meeting. They had been there previously as being recognized as the group that was representing their particular building, but now they are the winners.
And the Schmoltz were on hand as well Monday night. The Kurt Schmoltz Teacher Appreciation Award has been around for 20 years or so, and it has grown in monetary award, and it's nice to go back and recognize the Schmoltz family too.
It really was, and Hans and Jimmy Schmoltz were both there along with their daughter. Gretchen Wetland was there, but we gave them a plaque each and a certificate each, I guess is what it was, and then gave a golden apple to Mrs. Schmoke, because in addition to the awards they give at the Teacher of the Year event, for many, many, many years she has given a financial gift to all of our art teachers to buy supplies for their art rooms, all 10 of our teachers. So we gave her a special award also. So it was fun to have them there, and they're always a pleasure to have at our events.
It is, and I suppose we should mention, obviously I had the news story the next morning, or even that night before the board was over. It was we tweeted it and had it out on the website, but Doug Dyvelbiss, a longtime board president, has signaled to the board his intent to retire once your replacement is hired and on board, but we have a new board president, new vice president, and clerk of the board.
Yes, we do. And like you said, Doug has done it for many, many years and did a tremendous job. I really appreciate Doug and his efforts, and he did very honorably say, hey, I don't think I'm going to finish this whole year, so I'd rather you pick others to be officers, so there won't be a turmoil later on in the year whenever he does decide to retire from this part of his life. But the board selected Scott Bilger to be the president, and Rick Boswell, the vice president, deputy clerk, and Nikki Benson to be the clerk. So they're going to do a great job. Scott will do a great job as president, and he's been on the board for several years and represents us very well wherever he is. And we've got a great board. And, you know, we, Tyler Vaclaw and Nikki Benson were reelected without an opponent, and so they received their oath of office for another 4-year term each. And so we've got an experienced board, one that's doing a good job. And you mentioned the superintendent search. They're very involved with that right now and doing an incredible job from what I can tell on the process and the procedures to make sure that they select the right candidate to be the next superintendent here.
Well, we'll take a break and continue with Dr. Quinn when we continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, again talking with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Gary Quinn. And for those that have driven by Central, it's well towards its rebirth and hopefully ready to start students next year in August.
That's our plan. They are working very, very hard. You can see the work on the outside as far as the new gym going up and the starting of the parking lot on the northwest part of the property. But a whole lot of the work's going on inside Central. And as you mentioned, we hope to be there when school starts in the fall. They're on a race. We'll see how it goes. But hopefully that'll all happen in plenty of time. The school was built in 1917, so we're excited to celebrate its 100th birthday this next year. And hopefully with it all renovated, and it's a $12.2 million renovation, and it's going to be an outstanding facility once we're finished
well,
with the work there.
And the comments that I hear nearly every report from the builders, the architects, so the people who are actually doing the work, when you delve into a 100-year-old building, things aren't all vacation somewhere along the way or whatever, and so sometimes there are bumps along the way, so to speak.
You're exactly right. They've uncovered lots of surprises along the way, which they knew they would, and so there was a kind of allowance for that. But still, every time you uncover something new, then you've got to go back and say, okay, how can we work around this and make it all work? But they're figuring it out, and it's going to be a really exciting space for our Central Middle School students when they come back to their building.
Yeah. I want to spend a little bit of time, and that's really about all I've got is a little bit of time. You made a presentation to the board on myths and truths about education in general, education in Oklahoma, and specifically as it's done here in Bartlesville.
Yeah, we have been doing some research and pulled from some other presentations some information about kind of people's perceptions about public schools and really what the truth is. You know, a lot of times we get critical of something that we don't really know all of the facts about, and a lot of times you'll hear people saying there's more dropouts today than there's ever been, when in reality that's not true. There's really fewer dropouts than there's ever been. They'll talk about, you know, kids today do more drinking and or more smoking or involved in more bad activities, more crime, when reality is quite the opposite of that. And I did a little presentation that would, you know, showed some of that with statistics and backing it up. But here in Bartlesville, our schools just do a tremendous job with our students and with great challenges. Just like we talked about, you know, our budget gets reduced and we've got to make do. We still got to educate the kids, and we're going to do it very, very well in Bartlesville, as you well know, but with whatever amount of funds that we have available to us. We have some real challenges. Our students, we've got more poverty, we've got more that are homeless, we've got more whose parents are incarcerated. We've got more students who need mental health assistance. But yet, through all of that, our test scores continue to improve. And it's because our teachers and our staff do an incredible job of identifying those needs and meeting those needs of our students individually. So I'm just so proud of our organization and our teachers and the people that work with our kids every day. They do it in a safe way, in a good way, and provide a great education for not just the good students, but for all of our students, all of our struggling learners, and all of our disabled students. They're doing an incredible job of helping them be successful.
Any plans to take that show on the road and show it around town? Because it is a great message, and I think you could publish the PowerPoint, but that still it doesn't have your amplifying comments along the way.
Sure, we'll be glad to share that information with any of the organizations in town that would like for either me or one of our other folks to go out, because that was the intent, was to mm-hmm. have that prepared so that we could go out and share it with others.
Well, not a lot of time, but winter and spring sports doing well.
Doing well. Winter sports are getting close to winding down. We'll be getting into the tournaments to end the season here before too long, and the spring sports are getting started with weather like we've had lately. They ought to be out warming up their arms and getting ready to play the spring activities. And might mention the life principle of the month this month is honesty, which means being truthful in your words or actions. And certainly we believe in that, and we want our parents to reinforce that with the kids at home. And one other thing I might throw out, we need volunteers to help us during the testing season, which is coming up pretty soon. So if you have some time that you would come, and it's not hard, you just kind of have to be a monitor in a classroom with a teacher and a group of students to make sure everything's kind of, we've got to have other people watching what we're doing, make sure everything's on the up and up. And
volunteer at the school building or at the education service?
You can do either one, but the easiest is just to contact your local school in your area that you'd like to go help at, and they've got someone that's excited to put you to work helping us out during that testing time.
Thank you very much, Dr. Quinn. That's our Community Connection on K1.
Oklahoma City, that's about 20% of the company's workforce. Officials blame the current commodity price environment.